Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
Good evening. It's great to be with you tonight, and we're thankful for the presence of everyone. We're continuing our series on Sunday evenings, putting God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. And tonight we have our longest of the passages that we've memorized so far. We're trying to put these words in our minds and in our hearts, and hopefully you've been doing the memory work and thinking about these things, and hopefully these sermons have helped a little bit to brand these in your memory and think about how we can apply them to our hearts each day and to our lives so that we can be better Christians. And not every one is going to be this long, but I think there's so much in this verse that's good for us to think on. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so the better we think, the better we are going to be as individuals. You remember that Jesus said to the religious leaders of the day when he was talking with them in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we're going to look on things that we ought to think on. You notice that Paul says, think on these things in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Now there are things that happen to us in life, and sometimes we come in contact with other people or things happen to us that might distract our thinking here or there, and they might not be sinful thoughts that we have, but our thinking may sometimes have to be diverted here or there. But we're talking about times when we have the choice, when we make a conscious decision what we're going to think about, what we're going to contemplate. And the Bible says that when it comes to those type of decisions, he says here in this whole section on peace of mind that this is what we ought to do. You know, in verse 4, he said that they should rejoice. In verse 5, they should be yielding and moderate and gentle to one another. And he said also in verse 5 of this Philippians 4 passage that we should remember that the Lord's at hand. All of these things help us to have peace of mind. And then he goes on to say in verses 6 and 7 that we should not be anxious about anything, but by everything, by prayer and supplication, we should make our requests made known to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God that passes, or we would say surpasses, all understanding will guard our hearts by Jesus Christ. And so if we put all these things into practice, we can have peace of mind. But he finishes it all up in verse 8 by saying, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, first of all, let's look at whatsoever things are true. Now, I think it's obvious to us that we should not believe lies. We should believe the truth instead of lies. But think about it in a little bit different way. Every single temptation that you and I come across on a daily basis involves some sort of distortion by the devil. John 8, verse 44, Jesus said, the devil is a liar and the father of lies. And so when you're tempted, the devil is distorting the truth to make it seem different, to make reality seem different than it really is. And when we give in to temptation and sin, it's because we've given in to some sort of lie. No matter what the sin is, somebody has believed the devil's lie in order to get into it. And so we live in a world where there's so much gossip, so much fiction, so much rumors that are spread. People in some ways live in almost a fantasy world. And in order to have peace of mind, and in order to think the way God wants us to think, we have to think on things that are true. Movies, books, all sorts of things grab a hold of people's hearts, and they almost live in this fairy tale world. And a lot of times people think that today the way to have peace of mind is to continue to live in a fairy tale world. That is, people say, well, you shouldn't think on the truth because the truth is too painful. And so there are people out there today that would actually suggest to you that the way you ought to have peace of mind is to just Avoid anybody that would tell you the truth, and avoid anything that would remind you of the truth, and kind of continue to live in this fairy tale world. Well, we have our conscience. We have the world around us. We have things that continually remind us of the truth. There are people that want to go along today and not think about their responsibility before God. But all around them, they're surrounded by this physical creation that He has made. And so thinking about true things is the only way to have real peace of mind, because the truth will continue to kind of crop up in our minds no matter how much we try to push it aside. So the way to really have peace of mind is to admit the truth, think about the truth, and live in accordance with the truth. If there's an eternity coming, the only way that I can reconcile that in my mind and have peace in my mind is to prepare for that eternity instead of just blindly turning a blind eye to it and saying, I'm not going to think about that. And so we have to think about, first of all, things that are true instead of things that are false. You also think about this. When somebody worries, they often think about things that are hypothetical. They say, well, what if this happens or what if that happens? And many times the things that we worry about never really come true, do they? And so we have to keep our minds firmly grounded in reality that we know what God has promised us. We know where we are right now. And we should not dwell so much on the hypothetical, but on what is actually truthful, what we actually know about the situation and about what God has promised to us. Secondly, the Bible says here in Philippians 4, whatsoever things, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Now, taken at face value, this word honest would seem to be a restatement of what he just said, true. But the King James word honest here is actually a word in the Greek, which means something that is honorable, something that is respectful. And so it's the idea here of not necessarily honest, but something that is respectable. And so you have this idea that we need to have respect, we need to think about things that are dignified. And boy, if there's any trait that's really needed in our day and time, it's this, to have dignity. You know, the reason why we have such a disrespectful attitude that permeates our society is because we are like the people described in Romans 3, verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. If somebody does not respect God, they're not going to respect their fellow man. They're not going to respect themselves. You think about how people have the wrong kind of heroes. They idolize these singers or actors or athletes that show no respect for anybody else and have no respect for themselves. And so we wonder why society has no respect for each other, why people don't have respect. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't be deceived, evil companionships corrupt good manners. And so if we have a lack of respect, it's because we first don't respect God. If I don't respect God, there's no real way that I'm going to be able to respect other people or myself. It all starts with that. And because we've cast God out of our minds so many times in this society that we live in, that's why we have this lack of respect. It also concerns manhood. You know, people today think that in order to be a man, somebody has to break the rules and they have to run risks and they have to hurt other people. And that's not what being a man is about. Also, a misunderstanding of womanhood. Today, people think that in order to, you know, be glamorous or a woman, that you need to somehow expose yourself to other people or involve yourself in fornication or drink or use filthy language. And none of those things are befitting of womanhood. And so we live in this disrespectful world because we don't think on things that are honest. That is, honorable or respectful is what we're talking about here in this second one. And so whatever brings honor or brings respect, that's what we need to think on in our lives. So finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and then whatsoever things are just. This is the idea of fairness. This is one of the weightier matters of the law. The same Greek word is found in Matthew 23, 23. When Jesus talks to the religious leaders, to the Pharisees, he says, woe to you, Pharisees, for you have paid tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment is the first one he lists there, and that's this idea of what is just, what is fair. We really need to apply this when it comes to our speech. Every single one of us needs to think about before we say something, when we talk about somebody else, think this: is what I'm about to say about somebody else fair? Is it fair to that person for me to say this to them, say this about them? So many times people will say unfair things about somebody else, and they have no idea what the situation is. They have no idea what it's like to walk a mile in the other person's shoes. Proverbs 18:13 says, "He that answers a matter before he hears it, to him it is a folly and shame." And so we have to weigh the issues and we have to be fair with people. Matthew 7:12 says, "Therefore, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." And so am I being fair in what I think about people and what I say about people and how I treat people? And the more I study the Bible and really think about my life, I tell you what, the harder and harder it is for me to really be a just person and not make excuses for my friends or not make excuses for my family, but to treat, to be, or myself especially, but to be fair with other people and treat them the way that I would want to be treated. And so finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. The biblical word pure here is the idea of something that is unmixed. It's something that what you see is what you get. Nathanael was this type of person. You remember in John chapter 1, verse 47, Jesus could look into the soul of a man. He knew who they were. Before he was ever introduced to Nathanael, he saw him under the fig tree. He looked into the depths of his soul. He knew exactly what kind of man he was. And when Nathanael meets Jesus, Jesus says to him, "Behold, an Israelite in whom is no guile." The word guile is deceit. So when it came to Nathanael, what you saw is what you got. He didn't try to put on any sort of front towards people. He was genuine through and through. Timothy is another good example of this in the Bible. You remember in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, apparently Timothy, his mother, and his grandmother all possessed this genuine, sincere, King James Version says, unfeigned faith. So he says, when I think of the unfeigned faith which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I'm persuaded that in you also, Timothy. Timothy and his mother and grandmother were genuine. They were sincere. And so the idea of being pure is to be genuine in our lives, in our speech, in everything that we do, to be sincere. It also has the idea of not having impure thoughts. And I'm telling you, it is harder and harder, it seems like, in our day and time. There's always been impurity and immorality around the world. But because we have exposure to every different thing under the sun, with the television and internet and things like that, it is just so easy for this filth of the world to just be funneled into our minds without us even thinking about it. And so we need to make sure that we maintain pure thoughts. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, Jesus said, "You've heard that it was said of them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart." And so we have to maintain purity in our thoughts about other people. And a good way to do that is to try to avoid all the filth that's all the time the devil's trying to funnel into your minds. And having purity of thought has to do with our thinking about motives of other people as well. And so whatever it is that we're doing in life, the only way that we're going to have peace of mind is to live pure lives. You cannot, unless you absolutely have no conscience with you whatsoever, somebody cannot participate or think about evil things without having some sort of guilt, which will then not bring about peace of mind. And so there's no way that you can involve yourself in impure things or impure thoughts in this life and at the same time feel good about yourself if you have any sort of conscience whatsoever. And so we have to think about things that are pure. And so he says, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely." The idea here of lovely is that which is pleasing, that which is acceptable, that which is agreeable. Now, the Bible certainly tells us that we shouldn't try to please all men. Jesus couldn't please all men. But when it comes to good, godly people, when it comes to Christians, we ought to be able to please them because they have godly priorities about them. And when it comes to good, decent people that might not be Christian but have good values, we can be agreeable to them. Now, of course, there's always going to be evil people, wicked men that are going to be cantankerous. The Bible says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. It starts that by saying, if it be possible. Sometimes it's not possible to be peaceable with all men. But you know, Jesus was agreeable with people. Now, he had people that were trying to destroy him, that he couldn't give up the truth to be agreeable with them. But when it came to other people that Jesus came across in this life, he was agreeable to them. You think about what the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, that Jesus made himself subject to his parents. That is, he was agreeable to what his parents told him to do. And if they asked him to do something, he did it as a child growing up. And so if the King of Kings and Lord of Lords cooperated and did what his parents wanted him to do, then certainly if I'm a child and I have parents, I ought to do the same type of thing. And so to be agreeable is found there. It's also found in the next verse, where it says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and then notice this, and favor with God and man. So he increased in favor with man. And so if people asked to be healed, Jesus would help them. So in general, Jesus encouraged harmony among people. He encouraged people. He sympathized with people, and we ought to show the same type of interest in people. And so we can think about wholesome things, wholesome entertainment, not like the impurity that we just talked about, where some people have this crass type of humor, but good, acceptable, wholesome entertainment. We can think on those things and be pleasing to one another and think on these lovely things. And so this all ties in, because if you're going to think about things that are agreeable with one another and you're going to kind of yield to one another, that's going to help you have peace of mind and work on working out with other people the things that are right. So the Bible again says here, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. In Proverbs 22, verse 1, the Bible says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. A lot of times I think we spend a lot of our time thinking about the most negative thing we can think about each individual. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13 that one of the characteristics of love is that it hopes all things. It also believes all things. And so the things that are of good report, I think this goes along really well with things that are lovely. Think about some wonderful things about people that you know that you can think about on a day-to-day basis. You can think about the innocence of a child, the love of a child. You can think about an older couple that loves one another. You know, we're having things going on in the congregation where children are being going to be born, or where people are having their 50th anniversary, and we can think about those wonderful things. We can think about people that have lived faithful Christian lives for years. And yes, they're failing in health, but we can think about this wonderful thing, that they're prepared, they're ready to meet death because they've been faithful all these years and they look forward to going on, going home to be with the Lord. We can think about somebody being baptized. We can think about how wonderful it is to worship God and be together with one another. And we can think about what it will be like for us all to be together in heaven. You see, if we really thought on those things, how much better our life would be here rather than nitpicking and having a carping attitude towards every person that we come across. Nothing destroys a Christian influence faster than somebody that has a carping attitude that's always picking at other things on other people. Whatever you might say or teach really gets lost in all the noise of your bad attitude if you don't have this focus on things that are of good report. And then if any of those things didn't really finish it all up, he says, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, notice, think on these things. Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so think about all of these six things that we've listed tonight, and then any other virtue or praise that you can think of, the more you think on those things, the better you're going to be. In Micah chapter 2, the prophet talks about some evil people in the northern and southern kingdom. And he says God's woe was on them because they devised iniquity, they worked out evil on their beds. That is, as they went to bed at night, they thought about all the evil they were going to do to other people the next day. And so they worked it out in their minds, they devised it, and then when the morning light came, they went out and practiced it. Let me ask you, when you go to bed at night, what do you think about? God wants us to think about these things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. And any other virtue and any other praise, God wants us to think on these things and then go out and do it. If you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel, we would invite you to do so. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins, John 8:24. Jesus said, except you repent or turn from your sins, Luke 13:3, you will likewise perish, Luke 13:3. Jesus also said, whosoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 10:32. We know the Ethiopian eunuch made the good confession in Acts 8:37 when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, right before he was baptized. And Romans 10:10 says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And then finally, Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And so, if you haven't responded to the Lord's invitation by following those acts of obedience to be put into Christ, we invite you to do so tonight. Maybe you've done those first things and you've wandered away and you need to come back, or you need the prayers of the church for some other reason. We invite you to come and make things right. Don't leave this building not sure of your standing before God. Why not come while together we stand and while we sing?
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its spring. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam. From the throne of life now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that's cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call, 'tis a fountain open for all.
Be seated, please.